when we first get them, they're, you know, recently embalmed, and it tends to, as they sit, they're inside these giant blue bags that are humidity bags. They're specially made to become humidity chambers because the cadavers don't decompose, but they will dry out. So that's usually the part that when they start to dry out, they're not as useful anymore. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep them as moist as possible. And they're inside this humidity bag.
Jeez.
What? It's a funny word.
So over
time, it's not something I've ever thought about as far as cadavers go, but okay.
Yeah. So over time, as they are laying in these bags.
At least she's not saying that they have to keep them juicy.
Well, we sometimes do.
But, oh!
Welcome to Nerd Burger, the first episode of the second year of Nerd Burger, episode 53. I'm Mike.
I'm Craig.
And here we are.
That's a long intro. Yeah. Are we going to start celebrating the fact that we're in the second year?
No, just remember how we discussed Walking Dead?
Oh.
We were watching the first episode of the second half of the second season, the third season, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
I was going to come up with a new intro.
And you kind of did.
And, right, but then I didn't really. I didn't write it out.
Oh, well.
Remember I came up with it in the shower?
I wasn't there.
I had it
Why
all.
Why are you asking me if I remember?
Because I told you about it.
Okay.
You know how we talk about when we're in the shower?
Yeah, like how we talk about that every day. We call each other at like 8 o'clock.
No, but I came up with the whole script in my head, and by the time I got out of the shower, I'd forgotten it.
Yeah, good job.
I couldn't write it down.
Okay, so you'll figure that out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing other than that?
Okay.
Good.
You?
I'm fine.
You're having a rough morning?
Well, I feel bad.
A very long morning.
Man, it was a weird morning. But I feel bad because we were remiss last week, so I want to throw this out there
beginning. Yeah.
Thank you to all of our guests. We went through the anniversary episode and failed to thank all the people who are kind enough to Skype in or drive over here.
We do, in fact, appreciate you.
We do. The more work you do, the less we have to do. It's awesome.
And I really don't mind you coming over to my house.
Yeah, he was kidding.
It's just in the aggregate, the cumulative guesting.
Well, you're not used to having that many people over. And all of a sudden, last year, you had people coming over all the time. Because you and your wife are kind of, you hole yourself up for a while. You know, you just kind of disappear from society if you don't need to be there. You enjoy the indoors.
And as you've said many times,
yes,
human civilization has spent thousands and thousands of years perfecting the indoors. If I don't enjoy the indoors, I'm spitting in the face of human
ancestors.
Evolution.
Yes. Okay, so let's introduce our guest.
Hey, there's someone over there.
She's here for the first time.
Neocortex frontal lobe.
Hippocampus neural node. I have to say, I thoroughly approve of this song.
I like it.
Who's here, Mike?
It's my sister, Lori.
Hi.
Dr. Lori.
Hello.
An actual doctor.
A doctorate doctor.
Not a medical doctor.
Not a real doctor.
No, a piled higher and deeper doctor.
Exactly.
Because I was just going to default to, like, she blinded me with science.
Yeah.
Unless you guys came up with something. And then Mike sent this to me, and I was like, perfect! I love the Animaniacs, Pinky in the Brain. Awesome.
It's a great song.
Good choice.
We talked about these Countries of the World song several episodes ago. I was kind of sort of singing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the States and Their Capital song, which was there in the early years of the Animaniacs. That was fun, too. I don't remember how that one goes, though. I'd have to look, you know, dig it up on YouTube.
I was thinking about your shower dilemma. And maybe we could get you some shower crayons.
So you can write on the wall?
So you can write on the walls.
Would that be a wet erase board?
Yes, it would be.
Well, that's literally. Not good. Because, I mean, it's just going to erase immediately.
But not if it's crayon.
Oh, okay. You have to scrub
a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Do the kids have shower?
Not anymore.
Bathtime
crayons? Too messy.
No. Enough of that.
Yes. We've moved on.
Dealt with that for about, what, maybe 3 months and said,
exactly.
We're
no
done.
More. The best is, though, we have their little tablets that fizz and turn the bath water different colors.
So you dip them in there like Easter eggs.
Exactly.
Do you do them? Do you dunk them butt first and then turn them over and dunk them head first so you get the Easter egg with two colors?
Like we've tried that in the past.
Spin them slowly so you get a swirl.
Yeah. No, actually, we forgot we had them and we had never used them with our youngest one. And then last year on St. Patrick's Day, I had found them. So I took all the green ones and put them in the bathtub. And then when he discovered them, he kind of got a little freaked out and I told him it was leprechaun poop. I've never seen anyone jump so fast out of the bathtub and then refuse to get back in.
Wow.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. We were a little past it, but yeah.
Wow. So what brings you here?
I came to visit you, Mike.
That's not the real reason.
Well, I had to go to Papa Doe.
There you go.
Oh, that's the thing, yeah.
I had to eat some fried alligator at Papa Doe.
Yum, yum.
At least that's what I told the waitstaff.
Is that what you guys did last night?
No, that was Thursday.
Thursday.
We went straight from the airport to Papa Doe.
Exactly.
Beeline.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very good.
Yep, no stopping on the way.
Are we ready to talk about some stuff?
Are you ready for me to put your volume back up?
Sure. I apologize. I was so excited to talk to Lori.
I got no thumbs up from you.
Okay, here. There's a finger up for you.
Hey-o!
All right, here we go.
That's the news theme.
I figured it sounded very news-like.
We don't have to explain it. Just because someone in the studio has never listened to an episode and wanted to be on the show. This one. You have to listen to somebody else's,
I'll listen to the other ones first. Okay.
Can I go first?
Okay, sure.
We have an update
Woohoo!
On the story from last week.
All right.
Which was a callback.
We're becoming like a real news.
Show the previous week.
Sure.
Cat whisperer to visit house cat that attacked baby trapped family.
Oh, jeez. Really?
The large cat that attacked a baby and trapped an Oregon family in a bedroom touched off an internet uproar that worries Jackson Galaxy, star of Animal Planet's My Cat from Hell. Have you seen Jackson Galaxy?
No, but what bothers me is that it's like, this is a Budinski story. This is like, oh, this is a chance. I mean, all he's doing is pimping himself.
Right.
All he's doing is like, hey, look at me. I'm going to insinuate myself into this news story just to get publicity. A-hole.
And to fix the cat.
Whatever. A-hole. Did anybody ask him for his help?
I don't think that's made clear.
If the family reached out to him, then okay. But if he just decided, hey, I'm going to Twitter and Facebook all my information and say, hey, you know, this is what I would do.
I didn't know there was a cat whisperer.
You've never seen Jackson Galaxy on Animal Planet?
Mm-mm.
He's got a really big, bald head.
And cats like him.
Weird beard. He carries all his cat tools around in a guitar case and drives a pink Cadillac convertible.
What would constitute
and he started
a cat
doing
tool?
That, he started doing that when he was on TV, I guarantee it. I guarantee his cat tools were not in a guitar case before he was on television. Guaranteed.
What's a cat tool?
I don't know.
Cat toys and treats. Okay. And
do they have like one of those things where they catch snakes? You know, the big long stick.
That's how they corralled that's how the police corralled the cat in the first place.
Yeah.
Which you would have known had you listened.
We're not going to bring that up a few times today.
I should have done
that.
So
the cat whisperer is going to come in there and open up the kitty's brain and fix it and patch it back up.
Yep. With cameras. And that'll be on the air starting in April.
That's nice. Let's talk about TV that you and I actually care about.
Sure.
American Horror Story, 4th season.
Do we know what it's called now?
Carnival.
Ooh.
That's the theme, not the title. Theme.
Well, yeah. People are referring to it kind of...
Have they actually announced the title?
Well, I've seen people just kind of referring to it colloquially as Carnival. Yeah. It's like in the Carnival season, blah, blah, blah.
So it could be something.
It could be American Horror Story, Big Top. You know, I don't know.
Big American Horror Story, Wacky Mirror.
Right. But it'll give him
American Horror Story, Hall of Deformities.
There's going to say, it's going to give him another reason to bring in people with physical deformities. Like, actually, the actress who played Pepper in the second season is beautiful.
Yeah.
She does not look like that. That's all prosthetic and makeup. She's just really thin, so they were able to manipulate her. Her head to look like it did and
make her look
very
scrawny. Like a pinhead.
Yeah, well.
That is what they're called, right?
That it was. It's a encephalitic condition of some sort. We got to be careful about how we talk about that stuff in front of the doctor.
Why?
But she I'm not can correct a real us. Doctor.
Yeah, but I don't want to look. She, I don't want her but to correct us on the podcast. She has to correct us outside so I don't look like an idiot. This is what will happen. I'll start talking, and if I see Lori starting to shake her head, no, I'll be like, or.
Or the other way.
So that's about all we know about American Horror Story, but ooh, Carnival. That'll be fun.
Fast food news?
Sure.
Remember how we talked about Taco Bell is going to start taking mobile payments? You'll be able to order your Taco Bell from your phone as you're driving.
As you're driving,
Taco Bell.
You can use your app and endanger your children.
And you pay for it, and it's already done. You just show up at the window and grab it and go.
Because the drive-thru's not fast enough.
Right.
Ew.
Burger King is going to start doing that as well.
Oh, well done. Yay.
If only we had a sound effect for that.
You'll have to come up with one.
You got more news?
I got something I'd like to share. I mean, it's not news. Finish up with news, and I got something I would like to share with the two of you.
Okay.
It's a Wisconsin thing.
Ooh.
I have two stories, all part of a theme here.
Okay.
And we're going to start with some Apple bashing.
Okay, let's see.
Apple adds sharing selfies section to the iOS App Store. So now it's a special section for apps that allow you to take selfies and share them.
I've never taken a selfie.
Good for you. And in related news, medical experts say selfies are helping to spread head lice.
Yes, I heard about that. Because all the girls, well, I suppose guys too, but you see all the pictures of like the girls who are all in a group and they all kind of lean themselves
in. They lean in and touch heads.
Head to head.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We're going to talk about all sorts of things that are wrong with the human body today.
When you take and post a selfie, you may think you are sharing a special moment captured in a photograph, but medical experts are now saying you may also be sharing lice!
Ooh. Yeah. Not a fan.
Have your kids ever had lice?
We have never experienced lice, thank goodness. I knock on wood.
Yeah.
It's IKEA, it's not wood.
I remember it popping up in high school, I remember popping up in grade school with one or two kids in the class and everybody freaking out.
And then you're known as the kid who had lice.
For like ever.
Ever.
Yeah. when you grow up in a small town, yeah, you're the kid who had lice. And if your name was like...
anything that rhymed
Larry,
with lice. Or
Larry or Lucy.
Yeah. You were done. Might as well just move. Mom, Dad, you got to get new jobs, find a new house, and move. Take me to a new school.
Now with all the names that, you know, we didn't see a lot as kids, like there's names like Bryce that you see, no. Like, see nowadays.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Bryce, all you Bryces out there, don't ever get lice. Do everything you can to not get that.
Don't tell anyone.
Just sit there and scratch. He looks like he's thinking really hard. He's scratching his head. Gonna noodle out that math problem.
Okay.
All right.
Your news that's sort of like news?
It's just something fun I thought I would share that I heard about. You guys are from Wisconsin, as am I. You, in fact, grew up in the Milwaukee area.
Correct.
Do you remember this? Wait for it. It builds. From the shores of Michigan, I can watch you grow again. See you touch the sky. Where the river flows to where the sunset goes. Where all good neighbors passing by. Makes no difference. This part, you don't even remember this part? You're the
best hometown. Okay.
Yeah, vaguely. This like sounds really 70s. Like.
It is.
Okay.
It's from the 70s. And it's a Channel 12 promo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The middle part.
The build with the build, you're the best hometown I know.
Yeah.
This was. It was a. Channel 12 loves you. It was a Channel 12 thing in Milwaukee. I didn't grow up in Milwaukee, but I remember hearing
the ABC
variations of
affiliate?
This. I'm not sure.
Yes, I believe that was.
WISN?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's ABC.
that they did. It was just, you know, it was a promotion of the city of Milwaukee as like this great hometown. You know, it was like trying to build the morale, you know, of the townsfolk of the city. You know, to feel good about their right. Forget
all
about
those reports how the city's riddled with crime. And it's a great place to raise your kids.
And forget about the Palestinian situation and the hostages being taken during Jimmy Carter's and the gas shortage.
Yeah.
And all the other problems and communism.
The misery index.
And all the things that were plaguing our country. Just Milwaukee's a wonderful place to live.
Oh, and the fact that it's also the '70s.
Yeah.
Just in general.
And okay.
You had ugly clothes.
Now how about this? There's a feeling in the air that you can't get anywhere except in
Georgia. And no matter. Is this new?
Or this? There's a feeling in the air that you can't get
anywhere except in Nashville. Did the Milwaukee one start? There's a feeling in the air?
Or this, yes. There's a feeling in the air that you can't get anywhere except in Calgary. It's the exact same song.
Yeah.
And they ripped it off?
For over 100 different cities in North America. A guy named Frank Gehry, G-A-R-I, not the architect, was a TV singer-songwriter type. He wrote all these little promotional types of things and composed stuff for people to use in news segments and commercials and so forth. And he wrote this thing and then was smart and licensed it out to damn near every major city in North America. Like, here's the song you can do. And they would just change around a few words to identify the location. And everybody grew up thinking they had this, like, this theme song for their town. It was the same theme song that every place had.
And no one ever noticed.
Well, nobody, you know, it was from the 70s. It's one of those things that you never thought about. And then, you know, years and years later, somebody would play the song and be like, I remember.
Unless
that.
You know, some kind of traveling salesman or something and you went to all of those cities on a regular basis, you never would have realized it.
Right.
There was no internet. No one could point it out. Exactly. Hey.
But it was everywhere.
Too funny.
Commercialism. Way to go. Free market. I wrote this catchy jingle. It can make people feel better about their city during a crappy economy.
Doesn't matter which city it is. It applies to them all.
Makes my economy better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just change a couple things. Otherwise, it's exactly, if you played the whole thing, we can link to all of them. It's exactly the same song, save for about 9 or 10 words in each one.
Is there a website where it just has all of them?
There's a YouTube channel, sort of like a conglomeration, that has a link to a bunch of them.
Okay.
I have heard that there were over 100 cities. The page only has, you know, like maybe 20. Links to 20 different YouTube. No, and those are like the best ones that had like the whole song. It was in decent quality because there's some, you know, it's from the 70s. Yeah. So some of these YouTube clips are like, you can barely see what's going on. So there you go.
We thought we were special.
Everybody thought they were special.
Well, we thought we were special until, you know, 30 years ago when we forgot about that song.
Exactly.
Until now.
Now we feel bad.
Yeah.
Aww. I was listening. It came up on This American Life. And they were talking, Ira Glass was talking to this guy about the song, and he was recalling it fondly from his childhood, saying like he and his friends would like, somebody would start humming the first few bars and they would sing the song. It was like this thing that everybody knew. They could sing the whole thing. And to this day, he knew how to sing it. And then I really let him know, no, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not unique to you. And it kind of crushed him.
Aww.
Way to go, NPR.
Is that it for news?
Sure.
What do you want to talk about?
Whatever you want to talk about.
So tell us what you do.
I am a college professor and I teach anatomy.
Anatomy. So you stand in a big lecture hall up on stage and behind a podium, and you tell people with words describe how the human body is connected together.
Actually, I stand in front of a smaller lecture hall. It's all in the lab. I don't go in a lecture hall.
How many bones in the human body?
206.
She checks out. Just had to make sure we had a real doctorate.
Would you like me to name them?
Yes. Yes, I would.
In
starting at the bottom and moving up.
I could do that, but
no, reverse alphabetical order.
Whoa.
I couldn't do.
Okay. So tell us more about this lab.
So it's a lab room, uh-huh. and the students sit at lab benches, uh-huh. and then I talk to them. I teach anatomy and physiology, so uh-huh. we talk about how it's put together and then uh-huh. also how it works.
And do you have like plastic models that you use to demonstrate?
Plastic models, we have, and we also have a cadaver room where we do have.
Wait, whoa, whoa, a what room?
A cadaver room.
Cadaver.
So the students don't dissect as part of the course, but they have cadavers that they can look, we can reference to, and they can see how it actually is put together, because not all things translate from two-dimensional pictures or even models to what's actually.
Yeah, tell architecture clients.
So if the students don't dissect on the cadavers, how do they see inside the cadavers?
Well, we dissect them, but I run a dissection once a week where students can come in on their own time, not during class. And then I direct them and we together dissect the cadaver. So it's once it's dissected, it's called a prosected cadaver. And then that's what we can use for demonstrations.
So dissecting is extra credit.
They don't get extra credit. They can just come and do it if they so
it's extracurricular.
It is extracurricular, correct.
Extracurricular cadaver dissecting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm.
Can they put that on their other skills section
of their
resumes?
They all do.
Hey, you know, it's like saying I didn't take a course so much, but I, you know.
Correct.
I have my certificate or, you know, some equivalent. Like I've got some experience.
Right. They can say they have experience.
Wow. Last thing I dissected was a fetal pig. Senior year of high school.
A little bigger.
Yeah, a little bit. Frogs and earthworms.
Yeah. Planaria.
Planaria. Shark, squid.
Sharks would be cool.
That's the other lab.
License plates in the stomach, any of that kind of stuff?
I don't
know. Weird stuff. Well, that's the
human foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they're pulled out of the ocean for dissection.
They're farmed?
Probably.
There's a shark farm?
Probably.
Just for dissection. Wow. I had no idea. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
The real meaty ones go off to restaurants, the kind of scraggly looking ones.
For dissection.
Yeah. End up going to the
college. The fetal pigs come from the butcher, and if they have any pregnant sows, that's where the fetal pigs come from.
Oops.
Oh, we got the wrong one.
Oh. Okay.
Off to the high school with you.
Yep.
If this starts to get a little too disturbing, I might have to stop and break out one of my jokes that only intellectuals will understand.
Okay.
I've got the list here in front of me. We didn't have to use it last week.
Right. This is the one you had queued up.
Yeah. So, but we can talk about cadavers.
It gets disturbing.
Mm, okay.
Tell us more.
Tell us a story. Tell us a story, Lori.
A story.
How, do you have any stories about students passing out?
No, we've actually never had any students pass out or throw up.
Oh.
No good stories. Actually, I've had students pass out in class multiple times, but not with the cadavers out.
Just from having
videos or just in general.
Just something graphic.
I'm on a run now where this is the two semesters in a row I haven't had to call an ambulance. But I was on a run where like five semesters in a row I had to call the ambulance. Because I had students faint during class.
From movies.
Sometimes just because that we weren't doing anything particularly gross. Usually it's a video clip.
Their imagination just got going and something got in their head and they got freaked out. And
either that or something. Just low blood sugar, who knows. Yeah.
They're still drunk from the night before.
That's very possible.
It is college.
That's very possible. And you never know if they're, you know, the one time you don't call the ambulance, they don't wake up, so... Uh-huh. I've been told by the powers that be that I should always call an ambulance, have them checked out.
Hmm.
I did have one student throw up again, not cadaver related, but she coughed and then threw up all over the lab table and all of her neighbors' textbooks.
Might want to get that looked
did
at.
Did it go like chunk story?
Goonies. I didn't, but she tried to hold it in.
I threw up, and then the guy saw me throw up, and he threw up everywhere, and everybody was throwing up.
Like from Stand By Me with the blueberry pie.
Yeah.
No, luckily that didn't happen.
Not yet.
But I've never had any of that happen while the cadavers were out.
Huh.
Well, that's good.
Interestingly enough.
Now, do you think, is that a nickname or a moniker that might get attached to the student who does pass out with the cadavers? Or are your students mature enough now that they're not pulling, you know, they're not going to make fun of somebody for lice. They're not going to give them.
No, I don't think they get made fun of.
Okay. If somebody were to go, whoa.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone would make fun of them. Because people didn't make fun of the student, even the student who threw up all over the other lab books.
You know why? You know why? Because they're old enough. When you're a little kid, you don't realize it. So you just poke fun at the kid who has lice. Right. When you're older, you know, yeah, I could throw up tomorrow.
That could be me, right?
So I'm going to leave you alone for losing your lunch. Yes. That's fine. Because if I come in here with the wrong coffee and we open something up, yep, and I'm not ready for it.
But we also, we talk usually the first week that nothing is sacred in anatomy and physiology class. And we do bodily fluid collections all for the two semesters. And they have for different lab purposes, and that they just need to get used to it.
Bodily fluid collections.
Bodily fluid collections.
From the cadaver.
No, from the students.
There are a lot of different types of bodily fluids.
That
Mike.
There are.
Blood?
No, we used to do blood, where they could do blood typing on themselves. Mm-hmm. But then one time I had a lab and I left the room to get something and I came back and they were all like jabbing each other and poking each other. And I decided that was getting to be a bit too, too much liability with that.
That's like right out of a movie. And the teacher leaves, he comes back and everybody's throwing paper airplanes.
Everybody's
and
bleeding.
The rock music is blaring. But in your case, they're coming, they've got access to scalpels and needles.
They had access to needles.
And they like darts.
And they were poking each other. So we decided we do fake blood now. But the first one, they actually isolate their own DNA from cells inside their cheek. So they have to chew on the inside of their cheek and then spit into a tube to get
the
cells.
You don't have the cotton swab?
No, they need more because we want to visualize and see the DNA. So you need a bigger sample. So they chew on their side of their cheek for a while.
So you run gels?
Not in that class, but I do that outside of class as part of my research. But so they get all grossed out that they have to spit in a tube. And then I tell
them. That grosses them out.
That grosses
not the
them
dead
out.
Bodies that are all cut up in the back.
So then I tell them that this is just the beginning and we collect lots of bodily fluids and they need to not get grossed out about it. And then.
Boy, oh boy.
The second semester, they have to do a year analysis lab where they have to go pee in a cup every 20 minutes and then do tests, but they get it's their own urine.
Yeah.
But they start out really grossed out, and then by the end, they don't care anymore. But I give them all red Solo cups as specimen collection cups. Because they have to go out in the hall, like down the hall to the bathroom. And I
so
don't
that they're not walking around
with clear specimen cups. So then I play the red Solo cup song when they're all walking back in.
Why is everyone walking around with
red
Gatorade?
Solo cups?
You know what you do? Is you send them all out to fill their red Solo cups. And in your experience, how far do they fill the cup?
It depends on the student. Some students have a terrible time, but I've had a couple of usually male students that need
fill
we give them
the
a
way.
Second cup.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, what you do is while they're gone, you go put a red Solo cup on everybody's desk and you fill it with warm lemonade. And then you ask them to come back in, set your cups down.
And see if you can tell them.
At your desk. And then you go on with the lecture. And an hour later.
Try to confuse them.
You have to drink from one.
Whoa.
Actually, they're told during the experiment that they have to keep the red Solo cups away from the lab benches. They have to go around to the periphery of the lab because I don't want anything spilled on anyone mm-hmm. else's notes right. or textbook. Or
vomit was enough.
Yes, the one vomit experience was enough.
What happened to your textbook? Got peed on.
Somebody peed on it.
Again, that could happen in grade school.
It could. Probably does.
Let's take a quick moment here. I forgot to do this at the top of the episode. Mike, I brought you a present.
Oh.
I have a gift. A surprise.
A surprise?
Yes.
Shower crayons?
Are you adding to the studio?
Kinda.
Shower crayons?
Shower crayons.
That would be freaky.
That would be.
Oh, it's a bell! Call bell.
Not a cowbell?
Not cowbell.
Make a show of it. There you go. Okay. Not constantly.
Wow. So, where did you have to go to find one of these?
Use it sparingly. I ordered it from Amazon along with some other things, and it happened to arrive first.
Cool.
He stole it from the bakery department at the grocery store.
Awesome. awesome. We have a bell. That was fast. So if I request something else today, will it be here next week?
Or no.
We won't be here next week, but we'll be here in 2 weeks.
What do you, depends what you request, I suppose.
You're skipping a week?
I'm not available to record next weekend, so we are we're cobbling together a little something.
Don't worry, Nerdburger listener.
There's 12. There's 12.
It is listeners.
Confirmed as of last night. Confirmed there's a 12th listener.
You won't be missing a week. Just
hello.
Us.
Hello, Jenny. That's her name.
Jenny.
Yes, I found out we have 12. Read a dozen. All right, so back to...
We measure our equipment costs and our listeners in the dozens.
Okay, back to... okay. Woo. Back to stories of...
stories of the lab.
Of the lab.
Dun, dun, dun.
The world of physiology.
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know. Stories of the lab. I don't have any spooky lab sound effects.
I don't have any spooky ones. I don't know. What else do you want to know? We do have a gross equipment story.
Okay. Let's hear that.
Okay.
When the cadavers are very thoroughly embalmed so that they will last for quite a while. And right. A really well-embalmed cadaver will last for years and years and years. They don't decompose because they're just so full of chemicals.
And these are all people who have donated.
These are people who have donated specifically for research purposes or for, you know, for teaching purposes.
Okay.
And when we first get them, they're, you know, recently embalmed, and it tends to, as they sit, they're inside these giant blue bags that are humidity bags. They're specially made to become humidity chambers because the cadavers don't decompose, but they will dry out. So that's usually the part that when they start to dry out, they're not as useful anymore. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep them as moist as possible. And they're inside this humidity bag.
Jeez.
What? It's a funny word.
So over
time... It's not something I've ever thought about as far as cadavers go, but okay.
Yeah. So over time, as they are laying in these bags...
At least she's not saying that they have to keep them juicy.
Well, we sometimes do.
Oh!
The embalming fluid tends to leach out sure. over time and fill the bag. And the easiest way to get the fluid out of the bag, because it's difficult to manipulate. I mean, these are heavy cadavers, dead weight. And they're hard to move around. One of the easiest ways to get the fluid or the juice out of the bags is to use a turkey baster.
Oh.
So, wait a minute. You brought me.
I brought you a turkey baster.
As a gift.
This week.
Yes.
Yeah, that I put in the drawer with all of the other kitchen utensils. Do I need to that drawer now?
No, I did not bring you a used one. But I no longer have a turkey baster at my house.
You brought him your turkey baster?
No, I can't use one anymore. It's too much of a connection now.
Oh, you just... Oh, interesting.
Kind of grosses me out.
You're at home and you're like, No.
So how do you baste your turkey?
With a spoon.
Oh, okay.
I never thought about that you might do things. When you're working in that type of environment, there might be things that just associate in your head. And when it's like, not at home.
Can't go, not with food.
Can't associate that with food or my family or anything else that you
want. Wait, there's no like rubber bulb.
I'm sure there is, but the
science cheap, implement.
But the cheapest
that you're
easiest.
Supposed to be using in the lab.
Even if
there was a turkey baster, is enough like that.
Yeah,
that you'd still
but,
maybe.
But
make
then
that
you're at risk of developing that association and then not being able to baste your turkey at home.
She's basting turkeys just fine with a spoon. Weren't you paying attention?
And we don't. Have
Mike's like he. That exhale is like, I don't buy it.
We don't have any money, so the cheapest way of doing things is the necessary
oh,
way.
Okay.
So a $4 turkey baster versus probably the 400 version of that in the lab catalog. So that's my equipment story.
So what you're saying is you're underfunded.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow, really? Educators aren't getting enough money to do what they need to do. Underfunded.
Depends on
underpaid.
Depends on where you are.
Reported as news.
And it's not necessarily as true as most people believe it is.
Depends on where you are.
Yeah.
And depends on, I think they're still administratively overloaded. And when you, yeah. the trickle down.
I think there's plenty of educators that are fine, but I think there are plenty that are.
It depends on where
getting
you are.
Getting it in the shorts.
Depends on where you are.
Yeah. And that's a debate you can get into with anybody in any different part of the country and hear mm-hmm. a different story from everybody.
Because mm-hmm. I think it's different depending on everywhere that you are and mm-hmm. even different factions of different systems.
But I don't think any reasonable person can seriously argue that anyone in an urban area, that public schools are underfunded.
If we're talking about K through 12 schools, no.
Well, it's also a question of where the funding is going. Because right, even growing up where I lived, good luck getting money for anything other than sports teams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any money that went to the school went into the football program for the most part.
Yeah, but the part of the UW system that I work for, they, in doing faculty searches, they've had to, every faculty member, no matter what discipline they're in, starts with the same starting salary. And which isn't true in a lot of other systems because, you know, some different, you know, different factions would be worth more than others where, you know, engineers necessarily are harder to find, so they're worth more than maybe an English professor. Mm-hmm. So they're paid more. But in the UW system, they all start at the same salary because they want to be equitable. Well, they have found in, I think it's in the area of business and also in computer science, that they just have failed search upon failed search because no one will come and work for that particular salary. So they've ended up having to hire non-US citizens to fill those positions. But the amount of money that they start out with is below what the federal government has dictated can be the lowest wage you can pay non-citizens. So they've only raised the salary for those two disciplines because they had to, because they can't, people coming into the country can't make slave wages, so they can't pay them. They have to pay them, and we actually make less than what the federal government has determined is the least amount of money you can pay a college professor.
Awesome.
Yeah,
the fact that the federal government is walking around telling colleges, you know,
right.
how much you should be paying.
Well, no, they say they have when you bring, it's for every job. You can't bring people into the country on visas and pay them $2 an hour.
Right.
So there's a minimum amount. And what the UW system pays their faculty is
less.
Beneath that.
Yeah.
Well done, government.
Yes. Or well done, UW system.
Yeah.
Well, either one. I'll default and blame the government because they legislate a lot of things that they don't need to be putting their nose in quite so much.
But that's how little higher education is paying in some areas. Mm-hmm.
And that's one story.
You know.
Anyway.
So what's next? What do you want to talk about now?
What a great segue.
That was a good segue. I thought we were going to talk about the anti-vaccination movement.
Yes.
Okay.
We brought that up recently.
Yes, and I'm going to...
Measles?
I'm going to sit here quietly and listen to the person that knows something about this before I pipe in and make... Like, this might be one of those situations where I'll start talking.
But yes,
she'll be shaking her head. No.
But I think you guys were talking about how there's a new measles outbreak. Even though we
in
had
a bunch
just,
of places, yeah.
In a bunch of places. I think California, New Hampshire...
New York,
a few other places, and around the world, there are quite a few. I think United Kingdom is having an issue, Ireland. And most of the cases that in these outbreaks are people that have not vaccinated their children against measles, because if they had vaccinated, they wouldn't get it.
But there's certainly plenty of people who are vaccinated who are getting it, because vaccination is not 100% immunity.
That is true, but I think over 90% of the cases in these current outbreaks are non-vaccinated. So there's a small percentage, and that's going to be true of any vaccine. There's always going to be a small percentage that it doesn't take, because immune systems are very genetically unique.
Right, it's a physiological thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't know how your body's going to react to something.
And things like the pertussis vaccine, pertussis is what causes whooping cough, and it's only 80% effective. So in any, you know, room of, 20 kids, at least a few of them are, you know, a classroom, a few of them are going to be unvaccinated because the 20% of the population, it doesn't work. So that's a really high percentage. That's unusual.
And then there's what's referred to as herd vaccination.
Correct. Herd immunity.
Herd immunity, which is if you vaccinate everybody, not only are you increasing the likelihood that people are immune or giving them some great resistance to it, you're also dramatically decreasing the chances that they will become infected or that they will be exposed
right.
because everybody else is immune mm-hmm. or right. is highly resistant.
And since there are always are that small percentage of people that the vaccine doesn't work for. Plus, there's always a small percentage of people that can't get a vaccination for other health reasons.
And now there's a percentage of people that aren't.
So if you're not vaccinated,
voluntarily aren't getting vaccinated,
then you increase the prevalence of whatever the pathogen is in the society, and then you put at risk the people who truly can't get the vaccine, and or you're putting at risk babies, because a lot of times, like the mumps, measles, rubella vaccine, and pertussis. And chickenpox, they're not given until 1 year of age. So anyone under 1 year of age is going to be at risk to getting those diseases more so than the general population. And whooping cough has a very high fatality rate in infants. So if infants get exposed to whooping cough, they're going to end up with complications in the hospital at a very high mortality rate.
Right. And it's one of those things that, you know, we look at it and think, oh, well, measles. Okay, yeah. I knew somebody who had the measles as a kid, and, you know, they got sick for a couple of weeks and then they were fine. But that's not the truth in every case. Measles, mumps, rubella, all of these, and whooping cough in particular.
They all have a mortality rate.
There's a mortality rate. Or mm-hmm. even at the very least, there's risk of other.
Right. And chickenpox.
You know, you can change somebody, even if they don't die, you can change somebody's life for the rest of their life.
Correct.
You can. There's blindness issues. Yep. There's you know, autoimmune issues that come into play.
Yep.
By just getting the measles.
Right. And chickenpox, seemingly, you know, you get itchy for a week, you should recover. You know, who cares if you get chickenpox? Chickenpox actually has a high rate of causing infertility in males, especially the older they are that they get chickenpox. So someone, an 18-year-old who gets chickenpox for the first time, actually has a very high rate of becoming infertile because of the virus. And if you have it when you're two, those chances are much, much smaller. But being able to remove that virus completely from society is what the purpose of vaccines are.
How about if you have chickenpox when you're about a year old?
Generally,
like,
then.
Like I was. Which is why I have little
scars.
Pockmark scars, little divots at various places in my body. Because I was a year old and I scratched at everything and I've got all these little scars.
Yeah, the chances of becoming infertile increases dramatically as age increases. So young children that get it, it's very low rate of infertility. It's generally once puberty has already kicked in.
Now, do you suppose that people's lax attitudes toward these diseases, like we just talked about, like they're serious diseases,
and people,
do you think it's due to the fact that in the past they've been taken care of and people didn't really get them? We had these vaccines,
right? I think that's part.
Now we're actually going backwards.
I think that's part of it. I think.
Like,
I think
it's no big deal. I cannot vaccinate my kid against these.
Right,
these diseases, they're just common childhood diseases.
Right, and you go through any cemetery anywhere and you'll, you know, look back at the graves from the early 1900s and you'll see lots of evidence of these childhood diseases.
Yeah.
Where you see lots of graves of little kids because there is a mortality rate associated with every one of them.
And just historically speaking, looking back, influenza
there you go.
Killed millions and millions of
more
people
than World War I and World War II combined. Mm-hmm. And people died this year. It was a very mild flu strain, and a 36-year-old healthy pregnant woman in Wisconsin died from influenza because she didn't get the flu vaccine.
And now we've got people that are putting their own children at risk.
Yep,
because of a fraud, basically.
Exactly.
A publication perpetrated by Andrew Wakefield in The Lancet that lends support to the idea that some of these vaccinations
potentially cause autism.
Yes.
Particularly the mumps, measles, rubella, or MMR vaccine was what he fabricated data to look like this vaccine caused autism.
A scientist with a political agenda fabricating data?
Actually, he had a...
That never happens!
It was a financial agenda.
I'm already just hating myself for bringing that thing in here.
It was a financial agenda, I think. He was partnered supposedly with a pharmaceutical company that had something that would have benefited from removing the current MMR vaccine from the market. The publication has since been retracted. He has lost his medical license. They found that it was completely and 100% fabricated. The problem is that people still think that the CDC is hiding evidence.
Well, yeah.
That
it's in the
because conspiracy theories are fun.
They are, and I often believe that the CDC and the World Health Organization are evil, evil organizations that are out there to kill children.
Yeah,
that's their purpose.
That's like bylaw number 9.
Yeah,
I think
in the conspiracy theory handbook.
But now it's in the public consciousness, and it's being bopped around there by
Hollywood
people who have some celebrity and therefore, right. you know, have an audience that they can speak to.
Right.
And,
I mean, I think it's in some areas it's losing traction because I think as people are, you know, there's certain segments of the population that are slightly more educated. And I think it's just, it's misinformation and people that are just unwilling to look at the actual medical evidence.
I think if you're taking medical advice from Jenny McCarthy, you've got more problems.
Than, exactly.
than, you know, what you're sticking in your kid's body.
Exactly. If that's where you're going to get your medical advice
but
from.
But that's just my opinion.
Have you ever, visited the website that is, it's funny, but it's not fair, but it's funny. The name is JennyMcCarthyBodyCount.com.
Oh, that's they're keeping track of how many people?
Keeping track of the number of preventable illnesses and preventable deaths.
Wow.
Starting in June 3rd, 2007.
Why am I surprised that website exists? That's of course it does. Yes. It's the internet.
129,697 preventable illnesses. 1,371 preventable deaths.
Way to go, Jenny.
From June 3rd. 2007 up until just a few days ago.
Oh, shit.
Hey, that's not the Jenny that's our new listener, is it?
No. That's oh, okay, a, that's good. A different Jenny.
Don't want to offend our one new listener.
One new listener.
To counterpoint that, number of autism diagnoses scientifically linked to vaccinations during that time?
Zero. Absolutely no medical evidence whatsoever.
So what's with the explosion in autism diagnoses?
Well,
the fact that they keep...
They change the
they keep
moving the goalposts.
They move the goalposts and redefine that. That attributes to a lot of it. They've also attributed most recent research shows that it's actually attributed to male age. The older the male is, the higher chances that the child's going to have autism. They've linked it to changes in the DNA in the sperm of older males, and that's been gaining some traction. There was a you know one publication, and now there is some. You know, additional evidence that are showing that. So you have older, people are having kids at much older ages than they used to have.
Well done, science, giving men the ability to continue to procreate well. And I mean, not that, you know, a lot of men could, you know, Charlie right. Chaplin was having kids when he was really right. old, but you know, we've produced the little blue pills and we've yes. produced all this other stuff and hormone treatments but and all this.
Pills that make you want to take separate baths in separate bathtubs next year. Yeah. Significant other while staring at a sunset.
Yes.
Right.
On a hill.
Isn't it outside on a hill?
On a hill with a tree.
But yeah. now it's bringing that about. And then we, you know, you mentioned the comment that they're moving the goalposts, which is that they're redefining the bounds of right, what of, is autism right. and what is not.
And yeah. and well, there
are those public service announcements on the radio. 1 in 120 children will be diagnosed with autism. 1 in 110. 1 in 100. 1 in 90. 1 in 80.
It keeps changing.
It's like, it's because every couple of weeks they change the number.
They redefine what exactly, yeah, autism is and what fits into that.
Like, you
that
think we
spectrum.
Were all going to die of autism in a couple of weeks based on the progression.
Well,
it's almost any antisocial behavior falls into that category.
And I've commented on the podcast before that there's no normal anymore because everybody's got to categorize every little thing into some sort of condition. And I'm not saying that there aren't kids with autism,
right, exactly.
and that they need help, and that it's a tough thing for them to deal with. It's a tough thing for the parents and their loved right. ones to deal with. I get that.
There just aren't 4 billion kids with autism.
Yeah, it's
correct. And it's not being caused by the MMR vaccine or anything else that the CDC is hiding.
Thank you, Dr. Dr. Lori.
Doctor.
Doctor. And doctor.
Doctor. Doctor. Doctor.
And then that's from?
Oh, from The Big Bang Theory.
No, Spies no. Like Us. Oh, well, they do that on The Big Bang Theory. It's like Dr. Cuthbert Polly, yeah. Dr.
And then they, Dr. And then
Dr. Gable Hauser.
And then mm-hmm. Mr. Wolowitz.
Yeah.
But it's from...
With his lowly master's degree.
Spies Like Us, where they're all...
Okay.
The two,
you're right.
The two characters are pretending to be a doctor, and they meet two doctors, and they're all just going, doctor, 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 doctor.
Speaking of The Big Bang Theory, though.
Good segue.
There we go.
Hey, two in a row.
Woo!
You are a nerd.
I am yeah. a complete and utter nerd by all definitions. Hence why I'm on Nerd Burger.
Yeah. But tell us what happened one evening when you were watching a particular episode of The Big Bang Theory where Amy Farrah Fowler is getting drunk outside of a convenience store.
I realized that I have the same sweater.
The exact same cardigan. Like, and hey, that's in my closet.
I have that. So I decided to dress up like Amy Farrah Fowler for Halloween about 2 years ago, and I didn't have to go shopping, which really scared me.
And let's be fair. You have a doctorate.
I do.
In
biomedical science.
In a biomedical field, and Amy Farrah Fowler has a doctorate in neuroscience.
And as does the actress.
As does the actress.
Yes.
And she's dating.
She's not married.
No. Well, Amy Farrah Fowler, the character, is dating a man who is on the spectrum for something, probably.
Asperger's.
That's a lot of people taking their shot, saying, "Yeah, he's got some sort of Asperger's."
Your husband? Hey, wait! We're pronouncing it Asperger's now.
No. Asperger's.
So that it doesn't sound like Asperger's anymore.
Whatever.
I think I've heard it both ways.
That's the first time I've heard it pronounced.
I followed her lead because she knows that stuff. I was like, you pronounce it that way. And I was just, because I was afraid that if I said Asperger's, she was going to go, no.
Is that like in the 90s when we had to change the pronunciation of harassment to harassment so it didn't sound like her ass?
No, I don't know that that was necessarily changed.
Yeah.
We have to call the planet Uranus.
Uranus. So because urine is better than your anus.
I don't know. Anatomically, there's lots of different ways to pronounce the same part.
Speaking of analgesics. Analgesics in space.
Going no, to Uranus.
Sir. No, sir. That's pronounced analgesic. Pills go in your mouth.
A new start?
Right. But, so Amy Farrah Fowler's dating Sheldon.
Yes.
Who is, well, Sheldon. And your husband. Wait, okay, that's where it all breaks down.
Yeah. It does, it breaks
Lou
down.
Lou is nothing like Sheldon.
But deep down inside, he really is a nerd. He just doesn't want to admit it. Yeah. And all of our children are nerds. But I do want to go back to my Amy Farrah Fowler Halloween costume. Even though I didn't have to go shopping, I normally don't arrange the outfits the same way. So even though I was able to piece it together, that's not something I would normally have done. I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. On the record, on the internet, forever.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Craig's typing the outro right now.
Thank you for you make a thing out of that quite regularly.
But usually we when we watch Big Bang Theory at home, a lot of times my husband will pause it and then go, come in here, this was you. But more often than that, we're like, come in here, this was Mike.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Can I share a few of these jokes?
You might as well. It's 2 weeks in a row now. You haven't used them.
Yeah. Mike, I mentioned this one after we stopped recording last week, but I want to break it out here. What do you get when you cross a joke with a rhetorical question?
What?
There's no answer. That's the joke. A Roman walks into a bar and asks for a martinis. You mean a martini? The bartender asks. The Roman replies, if I wanted a double, I would have asked for it. Another Roman walks into a bar, holds up two fingers, and says, 5 beers, please.
It's the V.
Entropy isn't what it used to be. Pavlov is sitting at a pub enjoying a pint. The phone rings and he jumps up shouting, oh shit, I forgot to feed the dog. I really like that because it implies that he trained himself as well. And calling all the way back to a very early episode, Schrodinger's cat walks into a bar and doesn't.
Where's your cat sound effect?
I'm going to let the joke stand on its own. Are we done?
That about does it.
Thanks. Thank you, Laurie.
You're welcome.
Thanks for flying all the way down here just to do the show.
All right. And eat a pop.
And go to Papa Dough. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Laurie.
You can see me anytime, I guess.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, so can I. But thank you.
Where can they find us, Craig?
I don't know. Going to do the outro?
No.
Where can they find us?
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on the Twitters and the Facebook, and email us, NerdBurgerShow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of NerdBurger, Craig pronounces Asperger's, Uranus, and harassment correctly. Happy, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to do vaccinations briefly and then...
How are we doing them?
in the butt!
No,
that could go in so many different directions.
No, sir. The word is pronounced analgesic. the pill goes in your mouth. That's a Scrubs joke.